Carrie Stowe, head down against the gale-driven rain, battled around the corner of Barrymore Walk, one hand grabbing at the flying skirts of her coat, the other awkwardly clamping her small hat to her head. Thank the Lord that number 11 was only a short way down the long, straight street that seemed to funnel the channel winds and increase their strength fivefold. Street lamps glimmered in the dusk. The windows in the smart new brick facades of the houses of the walk glared with garish and self-confident electric light. The neat, clean interiors glimpsed from the pavement, appearing like a series of bright-lit pictures, almost clinical behind their glass, somehow safely set apart from the elements. Carrie's cheeks stung with the cold. She was surprisingly tired. The train ride back from London had seemed interminable. The effort to contain her excitement, to prevent herself from hoping too much, had all but exhausted her.
"You mean the house is mine?"
she had asked, the thing so much beyond her grasp that the words had verged on the disbelieving.
"Mine?"
Mr. Bagshaw of Bagshaw, Bagshaw and Stott Solicitors had nodded patiently. "As I said, yours, Mrs. Stowe, entirely yours, under the conditions which I hope I have made clear to you."
Yes, of course.
Far from making the conditions clear, Mr. Bagshaw had given the distinct impression that the arcane workings of Italian law were as much beyond him as they were beyond Carrie herself. His every disapproving sniff had indicated just how low was his opinion of such alien, if apparently legal, skullduggery. But still, "Yes," he had said, "yes, the house is yours." The Italian house. The Villa Castellini. Hers. She leaned into the wind, struggled the last few steps to the small wooden gate that was set in the low, clipped privet hedge of number 11. The concrete path led, neat and uncompromising, directly to the front door. She swung the gate behind her, then, realizing that the latch had not caught, turned wearily back to secure it. She would not hear the last of it if Arthur came home to find the gate swinging on its hinges in the wind. She fumbled with cold fingers for the key. Even here in the small, relatively sheltered porch, the December wind swirled, bone-chillingly cold. Inside at last, she leaned against the front door, shutting out the noise and the spiteful weather, turned on the overhead light. The long, narrow hall with its oak coat stand, its small mirror, its polished brown lino, was as cold as the grave. The light was bright and unforgiving. She stood for a moment, her arms wrapped across her body, narrow shoulders hunched.